What's up, everybody? This is Marshall Kuchar, also known as Complex in hip-hop circles, and you are listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. And this episode is kind of like a bonus episode. Just was on a drive, and I wanted to... I was thinking about what the new plans are going to be for Glyph, and figured I'd kind of talk it out. Maybe I can figure some stuff out by going through a little bit of my thoughts on what has happened so far and where it's going and all that stuff. I don't know exactly. All I know is that I've come to a decision that I'm pretty much, not 100%, but pretty much at the decision of I would really love to probably continue Glyph, keep him going. Having two comics finished for this one character is actually got me, like, excited to do more. Like, I don't know, like, when I first started thinking about doing this second mini-comic, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, you know. I didn't know if it was going to be a new story, a whole different character. You know, I've created out a lot of little characters here and there. So, you know, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And then I created that character, Crab Mangoon. And thought people like reacted well to him. They thought he was a cool character, so I was like, oh well, maybe I'll do something with him. And then I built this whole, put him in a place like that I thought would be interesting. He's kind of like a thug guy, and then I put him in a comic shop, and I'm like, okay, how can I build a story around that, like, kind of a guy who doesn't really fit in a certain place. Why is he there? Blah, blah, blah. And then what happened was I just started thinking about it and thinking about my character Glyph. And I'm like, you know what? This would probably be a cool, another cool Glyph story. So I'm like, all right, well, why not continue with the adventures of Glyph? So I just went with it. I kind of came up with a little plot in my head real quick. And I got inspired, and I was like, you know what, this is a doable project for a small mini-comic. And at that point, it was already, I think, past halfway, the halfway point of the time we had to get the comic done. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go with it then, because, you know, you can't be, there's a lot of work put into it to get it finished on the actual date. If you can't, you know, obviously that's the goal. Not everybody can always do that. And I came close to not hitting that goal, but luckily I actually did, so that was cool. But regardless, having the second mini Glyph comic out, you know, I really like the idea of kind of building and building and building and building with one character, like. And it's repetitive. It's a way to kind of... It's part of it is marketing. Like, it's a way to kind of repeat something in a non, like, stressful way. Like a non spammy way or whatever. That is fun. And I think, you know, that repetition is good to kind of start building your brand and stuff. And why not do it with my character, you know, that I'm having fun with already, you know? So, and that's why I like the idea of serialized comic books that turn into, like, graphic novels and stuff, because that's, like, a way to build that momentum. And then, you know, I think the whole idea of going to conventions, tabling, and then going to them, the same ones every year, like, and people asking you, okay, when's the next one coming out, or having a new one each time, or whatever, for people who are kind of like returning customers, I think that's a cool idea too. I think it's a good way to kind of start off with the grassroots. I totally don't want to only do Glyph as a character for the rest of my life, you know. I mean, I may do comics that are Glyph or Glyph related for the rest of my life, but that's not the only story I want to tell, you know. I want to get, you know, build new worlds. I like the whole idea of creating all kinds of different worlds and races and just totally different scenarios, different universe type things. Like, I have too many ideas to just limit it to me just doing one character for the rest of my life. So it's kind of my thoughts on that. So let me just go through the first two books a little bit. A very small overview. Glyph and the Terror of Tusk was the first one. Did that for the Mini Comics Dump Truck with Art and Story. That was my first comic that I ever really made. I used to try to draw comic pages when I was younger, but I didn't really have any story or anything and didn't know what I was doing. Never actually put it all together into like a book or something. I should share some of my old drawings though. I think it'd be fun, like, to show not only the improvement, but just it's fun to kind of look back and have a laugh at some of these first initial things. I mean, I got characters I created back then with like freaking patches all over them. You know, I was like a little Liefeld clone back then. And that's just the way it was. And same thing with McFarlane. You know, I was into all that image stuff back then, and as was so many people. So yeah, that would be fun to look back. I definitely think I should do something like that. But anyways, Glyph and the Terror of Tusk. It's kind of cool because, like, you can see, like, I specifically learned something different with each comic. The first comic was like, okay, I'm tackling this whole comic thing. This is, I've learned through the Art and Story podcast and other things that it's not an easy task. Even a little tiny comic like this, there's so much to think about. How you lay out panels, the moods, the, you know, the gestures, the acting of the faces of the characters. Then you end up drawing a comic, you're going to draw a lot more just things that you never maybe have ever even drawn, you know, because you didn't think, you know, about the surrounding stuff and like the backgrounds and stuff. You got to fill all that in, unless you're Liefeld. But, you know, so there's so much just to putting together a very simple comic, and then this, obviously writing a story, putting together a story that makes any sense and that has a beginning, middle, and an end, or at least a beginning and an end, you know, or something, some kind of plot. You're also developing characters. I mean, there's so much dialogue. Where do you put balloons? How do you do that? The word balloons, I mean, there's just so much to take in. So my first comic was like, all right, I'm just going to kind of put all this stuff aside, like not even try to like I, at first I thought, well, maybe I'll read, you know, Scott McCloud's book from cover to cover first, and then I'll do my comic. I started reading Scott McCloud's book, Making Comics, and I got, you know, like the first chapter in, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to do it and figure it out, and then if I need to, I'll use this as reference, or I'll go back and read it later. And I do plan on, you know, reading all his stuff too, but you know, I was just like, I'm just gonna go at it. So that's kind of what I did. I did put some limitations on it. I knew I just wanted to have the two characters, and basically one setting. Like, I mean, there's technically maybe two settings, like the city and the streets that Glyph walks through, and then the little subway, the abandoned subway area. So those are kind of the two settings, but really most of the story pretty much just takes place in the abandoned subway. That's an easy setting, you know. You don't have to like do too much studying to figure that out. I looked up a couple pictures. Basically, I just put pillars all over the place with graffiti and archways and and like a lot of dark blacks, you know, because it's going to be dark in there. There's not going to be much light. In fact, the light that there is there is probably pretty fictional, because if you were to go to an abandoned subway area, they probably wouldn't have any lights in there, you know. So it is what it is. So I kept it super simple. Two characters, one setting. I'm like, all right, I'm going to learn how to make comics here. So that was a really good limitation for a beginning comic. And I did have a beginning, middle, and end type of thing. Very small, like, plot-driven thing. And then the kind of the character development and any kind of theme or point to the story didn't even really come through until pretty much everything was drawn. And I mean, I had a little idea of the dialogue, but I really didn't finalize the dialogue until I literally wrote it and I hand lettered it, which the hand lettering sucks, but you know, a lot of that character stuff and the theme and all that didn't even come through until I made the final drafts of the dialogue. So there's certain things and aspects that some, you know, you might want to pre-plan, and, you know, people use the full script method and all that, that I just totally ignored. And, you know, that was me just pushing forward, seeing what I could do, seeing how, you know, kind of jumping in the water and seeing if I could swim, sink or swim. So, you know, that's me taking the advice of people I hear, like, you know, the art and story guys and all that. And I just did it, and it came out pretty good. I think it came out cool. A lot of people, the people who have read it, told me nice things. So that's cool, you know. You never know 100% how authentic that is, because people just try to be nice a lot of times anyways. But, you know, people don't have to say anything, and the ones that did take the effort probably did like it. And the comments that I did get reflect what I feel like I did succeed in, you know? So it was kind of a fast-paced, basic, very simplified, comic-y, like old-school comic-y story, you know? Fun, you know? And, so it came out pretty good. So then, like I said, I went to the second comic. I already explained kind of how I came up with that. But, you know, some of the limitations were lifted. This time I guess I still only had two main settings. Glyph's house or apartment or whatever it is. And the comic book shop. So I kind of stuck with that, but expanded those two settings to be a little more involved, I guess. A couple more rooms than normal. There were objects in the rooms, as opposed to, you know, a subway with just dark arches and pillars. Let's see, what else was there? Characters. There was more characters. I introduced Stick Up Kid. Glyph was obviously in it. And then I introduced Glyph's brother, who I kind of just made up on the spot. There was also another character in the comic book shop that Glyph's brother talked to. Can't remember what I named him at the moment, but I think he's going to come into play in some further projects. I have this project, this hip-hop project I'm doing with a buddy of mine. And it's going to be like a comic book-themed, like, music, hip-hop music or whatever. So we already recorded one song, but, you know, that needs a lot of work to mix it up and do some work on it and stuff. And then I came up with an idea for another song the other day, and I even wrote a little verse for it, and it's gonna probably be, the song's probably gonna be called The Comic Shop or something like that, and it's gonna be just like almost like a harken back to like a Beastie Boys like party song type of stuff, but you know, updated to, you know, my kind of a current underground style, the kind of stuff that I normally do. So it's gonna be fun. And like I said, I came up with one verse, and what it, I imagined it in my mind was like a geeky comic book kid coming in and kind of just being annoying and stuff. And I, as I was kind of writing it, I was like, you know, kind of, it could maybe be that little character, that little comic book character that I made in the Monster Munch Mystery. So I think it will be, you know, why not tie it together? And this is all on the fly, you know, there's no deep, you know, character creating going on here yet. You know, I'm not doing that kind of pre-planning with my comic books just yet. I'm thinking this next, the next project, you know, is going to get a little more in depth, you know. Maybe I will get into some of that. So yeah, there was hit that, him as a character. And then there was the crab guy, the crab mangoon, that character. And then there was another character who's just kind of a another kid who ate the Monster Munch and turned into a monster. He's kind of a nameless character, but who knows, maybe he'll pop up again sometime. So there was that. So there was a total of about 5 or 6 characters there. And somebody else makes an appearance too, but I'll leave that for a surprise for those who check out the comic at plexhop.com. So yeah, there's more characters. I'm gonna pause it real quick. Alright, so where was I? Glyph, and you know, raising some of the limitations on the Monster Munch Mystery. So like I said, I added you know, more characters, a little bit more with the settings. Trying to think of anything else that I did. I kept the, like, the drawing size I actually made smaller, because the time was getting short. So I'm like, all right, well, let me see if I can put, you know, go with maybe a smaller art or drawing size, and maybe that'll make it a little bit easier, a little bit quicker to accomplish. And I didn't mind it. Since I did the first comic, I learned about some more tools that helped me to draw smaller way easier, which is, you know, a lot of people have used these tools before, but for some reason I thought maybe that it wasn't a good tool because maybe the ink wasn't so good or something, or I tried them out in the past, and I think the ones that I tried just weren't so good, but I saw a video on YouTube of somebody using the Prismacolor ink pens, the different sizes. They're just like the Microns, and that's what I've heard suggested before, was the Microns. And but this person was using Prismacolors on actual like comic pages for like DC and Marvel type stuff. So I was like, wow. And they're like, you can draw really small with these things, so it's not really so bad, and you don't have to like fiddle around with it like you would have to with a crow quill and get used to how that all works, and then brushes are tough too. And don't get me wrong, I like working in crow quills and brushes, but I've never gotten to the point where I've gotten 100% used to them. And I don't know. I I think it's something that I'll explore more later on, but for now, I just want to be productive, and I'm going to stick with these. I might go over to Micron because they're cheaper than the Prismacolors, but these different kinds of markers, because they, you know, they have the 0.005, which is, I think, the smallest one that I've seen, at least, tip. And I don't know if I'd want to go any smaller than that, because I already have a hard time not breaking these tips, because they're so small, they're just, you know, can't help but break them sometimes. So, you know, there's that, and then there's like the 0.01, the 0.05, those are good ones too, different sizes to kind of go between. Only thing with these is obviously you can't really do much for varying line width, which, you know, it's a trade-off. I would like to be able to do more with the line width, and have like more pretty lines in that way, but for now I'm sticking with this for now, until I get more practice with the other ones. And even then, you know, the digital's coming in more and more, and I do have a bamboo, which I have not gotten used to yet, the Wacom bamboo. And I almost wonder if I'll ever get used to it before I finally end up getting a Cintiq, which I definitely would like to get someday. But right now the price for that is way too expensive, and my income is not up to the par for getting that at the moment. So, you know, that's going to be a while before I get into that. So I probably will be forced to try to get used to the bamboo if I ever break for digital more than traditional. But actually, one of my illustrator friends told me, and I won't say who it is because it might not be something they want people to know so much, but it really doesn't matter. It's like the difference between using Photoshop and GIMP. You know, if you're trying to get an illustration job and you say you use GIMP, people might be less likely to give you the job than if you say you use Photoshop, even though they both can do pretty much the same exact thing and have the same quality as well. So, but a friend of mine says he doesn't even use, you know, any tablet. He just uses the mouse. He's been doing that for years, and he's an illustrator. And honestly, I'm definitely way more comfortable with a mouse than I am with the Wacom at this point. But I think if I could get used to the Wacom, it would be even better, maybe. We'll see. That's something I'm going to have to do some practicing on first. But anyways, tangent aside. So we went a little bigger, learned some more things with this comic. Dialogue still was pretty simple. Plot was still pretty simple. Just a little bit more in depth, a little more elements. That's really about it for the Monster Munch Mystery. I'm really pleased with it. The only thing that I'm not... maybe two things that I'm not... that I'd like to improve upon is... like with the first comic, I focused more on getting really cool, interesting, like, panels and, like, especially more action-y shots and more, like, stuff with, like, foreshortening and just, like, I tried to move the camera around a little more. And with this Monster Munch Mini, I seem to have kind of almost forgotten to do that, kind of, like, to try to make it a little more interesting. Maybe it was because the time constraints ended up being a little tougher for me with this one, and I was drawing smaller. But I ended up, you know, I still got some cool different angles and shots and played around with different ways of putting panels down. I definitely did some new things with panels I didn't do in the last one. Like I said, I kind of wish that, like, the layouts were a little more open like the first one. But maybe it's because there's more things I had to draw in these panels than in the first one. It was a lot easier to lay it out, maybe. So in the next project, I'd like to open that up a little more and get a little bit closer to what I originally was doing with really some interesting dynamic angles and stuff like that and panel situations. Even though, like I said, I did do that with this one, but like I said, I'd like to get a little stronger with it. A little more designy. Yeah, because I really like that stuff. I like when things jump outside of borders. And I like I didn't have one splash page type of thing with this one. Like double page spread, and I think I'd like to have at least one in every comic I do, because that's the kind of comics I like, action comics that have awesome, cool, fun visuals. So, you know, that's something I'm going to be thinking a little more about. And as always, I think when I come down, finish a project, so far these two comics, both times, I came away feeling like I need to sketch more. I need to just draw all kinds of different things, draw more people, draw hands, do hand studies, foot studies, you know, gesture studies, learn how to shape things out more proportionately. I mean, there's parts where things don't work so well. But I just kind of went with it. Some things looked maybe in a couple places maybe looked a little flat or something, where I could have maybe shaped it out a little more. So yeah. At the same time, you know, it is a mini comic, a little cheap mini comic, so I wasn't stressing too much on that stuff. And yeah, so that's what I'm thinking as far as expanding and how the first two comics went. I think I'm going to pause it again, and then I'll start getting into what my future thoughts. My thoughts are for the future Glyph comics. Okay, so hold up a minute. Alright, so where do I want to go with Glyph? That is the question. That's the thing. Like, I don't know exactly. Like, I have an idea of continuing to do mini comics until I get to a point where there's enough for, like, a digest, like a manga digest or whatever. Manga or whatever, or I don't know, like those old Mad Digest books or something like that, you know, something kind of like almost like a mini graphic novel type of thing. I think that would be super cool, super fun, but man, I also have a strong desire to start getting into floppies. I want to draw, you know, on a bigger scale so I can get more detail in and really flex those art muscles more and more. I mean, when I growing up, my biggest influences were, you know, superhero stuff that was a lot more rendered and detailed, you know, and, you know, I still love that stuff. My tastes have changed to not like that stuff, but to include a whole huge other range of styles and stuff, from old school to like underground comics to painterly things. Like, I'd like to experiment in all kinds of different styles. Probably save most of the experimenting initially for, like, the mini comic stuff, because, you know, it's at low levels of personal cost to do that. And then if it's something that I do enjoy doing, any specific, like, technique or something, then I will continue it maybe in a larger format, possibly. So that's kind of how that'll go. But, you know, I really would like to do a floppy, and I don't know, maybe a different project should be my way to break into the big floppy stuff, possibly. But I do think Glyph would look really cool in a big floppy. There's two other avenues, artistic avenues, that I really can't wait to get to as well. And they may or may not include Glyph as the subject matter. Actually, no. Scratch that. There's three other avenues, but some of them are kind of intertwined. The other big avenues is I want to get into doing a webcomic. I have a whole different idea for a webcomic. I think Glyph would be cool as a webcomic too, actually. But, and it would be more of like a humorous thing and a fun, like, joke a day type of thing with the characters from the Glyph universe. But I have this whole other idea that I've spoke about, the flower, the Ted guy or whatever, that I really want to get to. But that's kind of something I can knock off. That could be like a small project I kind of knock off, because I'm going to just do like a season of maybe 2 months, one comic a week, and I'll create them all at once. So I'll just have to create 8, you know, web comics, like strip style web comics, because that's the style I'm interested in mostly for now. So there's the web comic thing, and then another thing I really want to get to is animation. Even if it's just one little animated short, or I'd like to do like a music video. I'd really like to do a music video, because I don't really have a lot of resources to do like live action music videos, so it'd be cool to be able to do an art one. And plus, I think that would set me apart from a lot of people, because not many people have animation ones compared to the ones that have like live action, just people walking around the streets rapping into a camera type of thing. So I'd like to do animation, but that's a huge task to take on. But the thing is I have the program to do it. I got Toon Boom, and I haven't been able to play with it, you know, and I want to. But that might include learning more about the Wacom, so it's like a huge learning curve and a lot of work for something that probably won't have much effect on my overall career, at least in the beginning. Like, it could take me a long time to make one animation, and, you know, it's like I won't have made a bunch of comics because of it. So, I don't know. And then the other thing is kind of along that same lines, is I've always wanted to do like hip-hop musical type of things, like stories with hip-hop. Or some way integrate the music in the hip-hop, in the comics and all that. So I am definitely looking to do that anyways, no matter what I do, somehow, some way. But yeah, so those are three avenues, and Glyph could fit in all those, but I think I want to continue making comics with him too. Like, I think I'm pretty sure I want to do that first. I don't know. Decisions. It's hard to figure out what exactly I want to do. I don't know. Maybe you guys have some advice. I think what I probably should do is kind of decide on a time limit of when I'm going to make this decision. Maybe by next week. You know, I don't want it to go for very long. I think I do want to continue with the Glyph storyline, though, so even though I really would like to get this Ted comic out. Oh, there's another one, too. I want to do a video game, but that's another huge learning curve, so we'll see about that. So, yeah, I guess, that's not all my thoughts on it, really, because the other stuff I was thinking about is, you know what I might do, kind of to prime this and figure it out, what I want to do, is start writing some backstory and do some world building of Glyph's whole universe. I kind of have a rough story in my mind, but it's also a story that I've just pretty much attached to a lot of different ideas I've had, and I don't know if I should settle that world onto Glyph, like the whole Warp Corp thing. Like, I introduced the Bap City thing in this new mini comic. Those are two like elements that, besides just introducing it for like a split second in the mini comic, have been, both of those things have been kind of festering in my mind for a while, is the universe that Glyph lives in, and some elements, interesting elements with it. But the whole Warp Corp thing is actually more something I was hoping to use for like a superhero thing, which Glyph kind of is a superhero thing, but it's kind of a different kind. It's, I don't know, it's a playful, cartoony style thing, when I think of the superhero thing, I'm thinking more of like a, maybe a little more serious. I don't know. But Glyph's kind of serious too, so, in some, or will be, maybe at times. So, I don't know. So, I'm thinking about, though, have you ever seen those, I'm sure you have, like, those old, like, Marvel, like, comics that are, like, they have, like, all the little, like, the villains and the characters, and, like, they write up, like, a bio and their strengths and their weaknesses, and my, buddy William McKenzie, he showed me those recently, and I've seen them throughout the years, I think, but it was the first time I really kind of looked at them, was recently when he showed them to me. He actually let me borrow some of them, and I was like, this is so cool. There's all these like odd characters that I never even heard of, because they're like villains that only appeared in a few issues of different comics and things like that, and really creative stuff, interesting, fun stuff. Cool to see all the different powers, not just villains. There was like little other supporting superhero characters here and there, and I like how they wrote up their story and stuff and their background and where they appeared in different comics. And I'm thinking of maybe doing that for like the current characters I have, and maybe expanding that with some of my other characters to kind of build maybe a story, you know. And maybe kind of plan out a more full script type of approach. And if I do that, then it would probably go contribute to a floppy style comic that will eventually go into a graphic novel, or a trade paperback or whatever, you know, however that all works. I'll repackage it different ways, I'm sure, because it's fun. Everything's fun. So maybe that's my next stepping stone. Let's start to develop some of the characters and then build a story around that. Build some of the world as well. See how the world works. Maybe do some designing of Bap City. There's also Boomtown, which I've yet to introduce. Barely even introduced Bap City, but Boomtown is like kind of a whole other area, and they kind of have different politics and situations. I mean, I have a lot of the backstory kind of in my mind, so not all of it, just a little bit of it. But so yeah, I guess that's it. That's what I'm thinking about for Glyph. Need to figure out some direction, figure out where I'm going to go with it, but I do want to continue the Glyph storyline and kind of build on that for a while, I think. And, you know, and then there's that other comic that I'm going to be working on with Jamie Gamble. So, you know, that might take over for a little while at some point. We'll see. Depends on what, how far we get with talking about that and all that. So, still, that's still in the super early stages. So yeah, that's about it. Thank you for listening. This is just kind of like a bonus little podcast here I'm doing. Like I said in the main podcast, the new Glyph Monster Munch Mystery book is out. You can go get it at my site. Right in the front, it show there's like a link to Glyph and the Terror of Tusk, which you can read free, and right from there, from that page, there's a link to the comics to buy them and stuff. So, you know, come by plexhop.com, check out the comic. At the very least, you know, if I'd love it if you at least read the Terror of Tusk. If you haven't read that yet, check that out. That'd be cool. Love to hear some comments on that. And also, the last call to action is I've been asking people to go over to the iTunes feed and leave a comment and star review. That really helps out the show, gets me better ratings in iTunes, and gets some more audience. And, you know, I want to keep expanding this thing. You know, it seems to be a cool thing that people are enjoying, and I'm enjoying doing it. And for once, it's something I'm being consistent at, so I'm going to just kind of put some more effort into promoting it a little bit, the Escape Artist Podcast. It's all about escaping through our art and finding a way with our art to escape from, you know, the situation we may be in that we're not 100% happy with. You know, try to find a career in this thing, this creative stuff. So yeah, hope you guys are doing awesome. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Alright, talk to you later.